Luke chapter 13, we're going to read verses 10 through 17 there. It's a Jesus story. And we'll just walk through this, this Jesus story. And just look at a couple of things, begin our week this week. Hopefully encouraged to let him do what he wants to do with us. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue," and there's always that guy, isn't there? "The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day.' The Lord then answered him and said, 'Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?' And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for the willingness that you have, Lord, to bring us in line with your will. We thank you, Father, for the willingness that you have to empower us and strengthen us to carry that burden that you that you've prepared for us, Lord, that you give to us, that you set on our shoulders, Father, if we're willing to take it. Help us, Lord, to take up that cross that is ours and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here this evening. Bless the word to our hearts, we pray. Help us to grow in it, be changed by it, and honor you with it, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, you see what my title is there, but I'll give it to you again in big words. Straighten up. Straighten up. I've said this countless times to my children. I've heard it said to me countless times by my dad, my mom growing up. You know, if you take it literally, it simply suggests that I'm crooked. Straighten up. You know, and the fact of the matter is people can be crooked sometimes. I don't want to call out people after their testimonies or else you'll stop testifying because I will embarrass you. But a couple of you indicated that perhaps we're thinking a crooked way, even if just a little bit crooked. And you had help in straightening up, a help in coming off of crooked. You ever throw your back out? I have thrown my back out before. I know several of you, as a matter of fact, not only have thrown out your backs, but you've actually injured your back or have some kind of chronic issue. But if you throw your back out, as I have, it's usually doing some kind of work. It's been a long time since I hurt my back. But remember one time in particular, I just reached back like this to grab a roll of hose in the top of the truck right before I quit the fire department. And I went like that to toss a roll of hose. And it just went bink, and it sent me home. That was it. Shift was over. I couldn't move. I was lying writhing on the couch in the station. Couldn't think, couldn't move, couldn't sneeze, didn't want to breathe, didn't want to do any of those things. And you know what happens over time? And I can see it in Allie. She throws her back out from time to time. Thank the Lord it hasn't been, it's been a while since it happened. But she'll pinch a muscle or something, and you can watch it happen over the course of just a few days. She ends up being this way. And she's walking, you know, this way. I'm like, "Oh, you poor thing." She's like, "What? I feel pretty good, you know." What is it, you know? And she's literally, you know, this way, turned off. And she's like, "It's not so bad today, you know, not so bad." I'm like, "It looks really bad, you know, it looks really bad." And the pelvis is kicked off and everything's like this. You know, your body compensates by self-splinting. You know, you sit and try to accommodate it. And what do you need your back for? You know, everyone, you go by this and it says straighten up. I mean, straight, it must be, you know, just straight like this. But your spine isn't that way. Your spine's kind of curved like this, you know. And it's just this nice little, you know, nice little shock absorber. And it's supposed to help you carry a load. It's supposed to help you carry the load that is your weight. It's supposed to help you if you keep it in line. put weight on you and walk with it. And once you're off like this, now all of a sudden, Tati hurt her back. All of a sudden carrying the baby in that papoose. What does she weigh now? 12 pounds maybe? All of a sudden it's like, oh, it's just so, No, she's this big. It wrecks things. You know, your back is hurt and all of a sudden you're messed up. You can't carry what you're intended to carry. A healthy back is necessary. Now, plainly, this lady in our passage is beyond throwing her back out. We see in verse 10, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity, 18 years. And was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. Some of you, your back issues are chronic, perhaps, but you go to a chiropractor. Some people, my nephew will sit down and he will watch. He'll watch videos of chiropractors snapping and cracking people. Time after time after time. Watch this one, Uncle Greggy. It's called the Ring Dinger or something like that. And you know, and the guy, literally, they call it the Ring Dinger. And some hick guy out in Virginia or something, and this old guy puts their knees up, you know, and lays them on their back and wraps this strap around the neck and, fastens their wrists down. And then he, you know, raises their height 6 inches by yanking on that thing. And it goes all the way down. I mean, everything pop, 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 pop. And the people shriek and, you know, and they scream and that sort of thing. And it is, I watch it and it makes me a little nauseous. You know, Missy does one of these things and pops her neck. No, man. No, it's not intended to do that. I'm not interested in popping things. This woman was beyond the influence and beyond the effects that could be brought about by a chiropractor. Didn't matter what he would have popped. It doesn't matter what he would have adjusted. It doesn't matter what he would have reduced or anything of that sort. She was past this. She had a spirit of infirmity upon her. And I'm going to go so far as to say that this was something unholy upon her, it seems. I liken it to, well, the messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet Paul, that thorn that he had that we read about in 2 Corinthians. And in verse 16, we see Jesus says, "This woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound." So there was an influence here that was beyond something that Dr. So-and-so was going to do by doing a ring dinger on her back. She couldn't raise herself up. She was past this. I don't know what her load would have been if she was healthy, but as she was, it was going to, well, you can hold a Bible. I hope you hold your Bible just like this and it's that dear to you. Just, you know, hold it. Not really, that's not what I'm saying. You hold this Bible like this or any load and you hold it close to you and you hold it and it doesn't feel very heavy. As soon as I go like this and I stick it out this way, I mean, I'm not a weak man, but I'm not strong enough to hold this out here for an hour, I'll tell you that, because the balance is off. Leverage is acting. You have this long lever all of a sudden. I can hold this for as long, you know, it won't be comfortable, but I'll hold it for a while. You throw your back off, now the leverage is off. Your load is not being able to be borne the way it's intended to if you're straight. It's important to have a good back, saints. It's important. And this woman didn't have one, and perhaps it was through no doing of her own, but this spirit of infirmity was upon her. She was bound by Satan. We who know better, we who know the Lord, this woman might not have been a believer at all until she came and met Jesus that day, but we who know better, we who are believers, who understand who Jesus is, who have walked with him for a good long time, who understand what he does and what he wants from us, sometimes we can get sideways. Sometimes we can get crooked. Sometimes we can pull our back and all of a sudden the load that we're given to carry is too heavy for us. It's burdensome because we've injured ourselves. Moses spoke to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He describes them just so. He speaks of Israel saying they have corrupted themselves. They are not his children. Because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? He goes on. Hello. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? And yet here you are crooked and kicked off and turned off and not able to carry what you're intended to carry. Of course he's made and established us. Of course he had made and established Israel. And he's the one that we need to go to bring us back to straight, to bring us back to, well, in line. We need a spiritual chiropractor if you want to go that direction. We need to be adjusted from time to time, and sometimes we need to be fully, just taken off of 90 degrees and brought to upright. We can be that far off. Some of you, again, will go to the chiropractor, and you'll watch those ones, or you won't watch him, but he'll sit and he'll adjust and he'll push and he'll do all these things and bring things in and say, oh no, your heel's not in line, so I'll just kick, and do this sort of thing and lengthen it out. And oh, your arm here, breathe out softly, okay, pow, and do all those things. As soon as he told me to breathe out softly, I'm going to be breathing in rough, There's no way I'm going to relax while, he's got his big meaty hands on me and he's crunching down. But you who do those things, that's fine. But for the most part, outside of Missy doing this and outside of Allie popping her back and different people doing this sort of thing, you don't adjust yourself entirely, right? You don't give yourself a ring dinger and sit down there and lock your thing down, set up a jack or whatever it is. You don't do that, all right? You can't adjust yourself, can you, entirely? Certainly not when everything is wrecked and everything is way out of line in the main big bones of your back. I've seen movies and I've seen different people say, my shoulder's out, and it's dislocated, so I just whack it on a wall and it just pops back in. It happens all the time. It's an old war wound. Whatever. Come on. For the most part, that sort of thing doesn't happen. Now, I have seen people have a bad finger where it goes and it kicks off and they're like, ooh, and they put it back in because it does do that. But for the most part, you dislocate your spine or something like that, you're not just going to put it back. And there are certain injuries that when they're so far out, Dr. So-and-so is not going to be able to fix it either. All that snapping your bones back into place and all that, that's good theater. It's good cinema. But that's not what spiritual reality is. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 14. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes and speaks continually of things as they are when they're left to man's work, when they're left to man's ability, when they're left to man's efforts. He talks about things under the sun, so you can almost consider it that it's looking at it in theory and hypothetically without directly the Lord's involvement in it. And he speaks of what man's interests and what man's efforts would do without the Lord. And he opens up very quickly in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14. He says, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. All the works done by man, all the efforts that are there by people who aren't God. And indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked can't be made straight, he says. And what is lacking cannot be numbered. So it's true. There are times when we have injured ourselves. There are times when we have pulled a muscle and tried to accommodate for that without dealing for that muscle, and we find ourselves this way and we're off. And the load that we have day by day, or in one fell swoop, when the Lord would have something placed upon us, all of a sudden we're like, oh, I can't do this. And we need to straighten up if we're going to carry our respective crosses. If we want that easy yoke and that light burden to truly be easy and light, we need to go to the Lord about it. A bad back isn't going to help us. We want to look at that analogy that way. Now, whether it's leaving eternal death behind at salvation or continuing to walk in faith and by faith, we can't straighten up alone. We can't. We couldn't find salvation on our own. And when we are, past just a little bit off center, where we realize, I know what I'm doing. The Lord has dealt with me in the past. I need to put this back. Forgive me, Lord, that sort of thing. Again, I don't want to just pick on people, but Emily said, I did what I did. I know better than this. Pop the neck, someone else maybe. I've seen Brother Doug pop people's backs. Never watch for very long. I don't enjoy that. But I've seen other people just, can you pop my back for me? Sure. Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Thank you. And you got help. But when it gets to a certain spot, a certain part, we can't do it by ourselves or with help. We need help. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says this. I need to put a new battery in my little clicker here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. You know what Paul says to the Philippians there. He says, it is God who works in you, both to will, both to get your mind right, to get your mind back in line with Him. His good pleasure is His perfect will. It's God who works in us as we approach Him and we come to Him saying, Lord, I'm not thinking right. Or I don't know what to think about this situation. I don't know where my mind is at right now, but it's not right. Well, God will work in you both to will and then to do for His good pleasure. That's His prerogative, and He's willing to do it. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So He answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, not by your efforts. Yes, you might adjust a little bit here and there, as you have learned and seen me do in the past, or as I've guided you in the past. This is what straight is. Pop, pop, getting it back in line. But after that, once we're off on a certain trajectory and things are, well, we're wrecked. It's not by your might, not by your power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. That's an adjustment, saints, to take a mountain, scrape it, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it. It's the Lord, it's his power that does things as impactful and impossible as separating us from this flesh in the first place, making us a new creation, separating us from the old creation. And it's only the power of the Lord that can straighten the spiritually crooked when it's so far off. And the next question I would just ask is, does he want to? And I hope that you know this is rhetorical. Back in our text, verse 12 and 13 of Luke chapter 13. When Jesus saw her, this woman, 18 years, crunched over, couldn't straighten herself back up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. We know the Bartimaeus, some of these blind ones, some of these lepers went to him. The man who came through the roof, they lowered him down and they found Jesus and they said, hey, look here, or Son of David, have mercy on me. She was bent over and Jesus saw her and called her to him. Yeah, I say he wanted to do this. And he said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Does he want to do this? Of course he does. It's always his will that we will and do of his good pleasure. It's always his will that we bear the burden that he has for us to bear. It's always his will that we take up our cross and follow him because he wants us to come after him. Always his will to make us right and make us, aligned with his will and strengthened to do his purpose. He delivered that woman, and he'll deliver us from our own crookedness. Now, what happened next? What happened next with that guy? But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. This was a growing theme with the Pharisees particularly. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. You need to stop and you need to honor God on the Sabbath day. You don't do any work. You sit down and it's a time of quiet reflection and a time of quiet meditation. It's a time of no work. You understand what the law was. You understand what the Sabbath was. And these ones were holding to it and saying, this is not a time to come and let... Well, they would stop at saying, let the Son of God work on you, wouldn't they? They wouldn't identify that. This part always gets to me. That they could even say, how dare they come and be healed on the Sabbath? How dare they come and let this one who's doing the work of God? How dare they come? No, you come Sunday through Friday. That's when this is supposed to happen. We are closed on Saturday. You stay home and you think about your injury and you think about your illness and et cetera, et cetera. Jesus shouldn't be working today. Now, obviously, there's a conflict there. For them to verbalize that and vocalize that, they would have to recognize that Jesus was doing a powerful work. And they did do that in secret. Amongst themselves, they're like, we can't deny that this is going on. But we can't have this going on, you know? It couldn't be so. No, this is a Sabbath. You can't be doing this because The holy day is this Sabbath day. They recognized he was, well, he was exerting power in doing these fantastic works and feats. But they refused to see that the power that was being exerted was the power of the Christ. They refused to identify that. They refused to call that out and recognize that. Now, we understand the first Sabbath in Genesis 2, when the Lord was creating creation. After, well, Genesis 2, I don't have it in my notes, but throughout Genesis 1, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, he created man and all those things. Everything was good. And what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Why did he rest? Why did he have this Sabbath? Because the work was finished that day. The work was completed that day. There was no more work to do. He created creation his perfect way. He created it perfectly. Adam and Eve, even themselves, were innocent and created in perfection in his own image. Everything was good and the work was completed. They didn't recognize that he was the Christ, but it doesn't change the truth that Jesus was the Christ when he came. And the Christ came to save mankind. The Christ came to do work for mankind, and the work wasn't done yet, was it? When did he say that the work was finished? It was when he hung on Calvary. When he said, "It is finished." There was no Sabbath for Jesus. He was the Sabbath. He was the Sabbath. He didn't hold to a day. She had a need. And he said, "I'm going to satisfy your need. The work isn't done yet." He had yet to go to the cross. And I have no reservations when I speak for that healed woman, when I know for a fact she was elated that Jesus chose not to rest on that day. She was thrilled that he chose not to rest on that day. Jesus doesn't rest when there is work yet to be done. You know, he had a natural body he had to feed. He had a natural body that he had to support. He had a natural body that he had to rest. He had to do all the natural functions that we do, eat, sleep, drink, rest, all of those things. Jesus no longer has needs in regards to eating and sleeping. He doesn't rest on you. All right, he's working. He works when the work needs to be done. He does not rest in his efforts at straightening us up. So what that tells me is that I shouldn't either. Luke chapter 13 and verse 15. What do I mean when I say I shouldn't rest in this work of being straightened up? Look back at what Jesus says to this indignant one. In verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite," meaning you say one thing when you're doing the same thing. "Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it?" He says, "Come now, hypocrites, come now. You care for these animals here, and on the Sabbath you'll take them out and you'll take them down, you'll water them, you'll feed them, you'll do all of these things, you'll take the necessary care for these beasts of burden here on the Sabbath day." And why would they do this? Out of kindness? I don't know, maybe they were animal lovers. I know people who love cats and hate people. I know people like that. Perhaps they were super kind to their animals, but I don't think so. I think that what it came down to was the beast of burden could do what? Was going to serve them. And if they didn't water these animals over the course of this entire day, if they stayed in the heat of Israel, if it was in the summertime, that thing was going to dry up. It was going to be unhealthy. If they didn't feed it, it was going to lose strength. If it didn't have strength, it wasn't going to pull and bear what it was intended to bear. Of course they were going to take care of that and do the necessary things and not look at that as being too much work on the Sabbath. A dead animal or a weak or an unhealthy animal would not serve them. I read a book recently about a man who was kidnapped back in 1842. Kidnapped. He was a black man born free in the North. He was kidnapped and he was taken down into the bayou regions of New Orleans, Louisiana. He was a slave there on a on a cotton plantation, and he did other time at a sugar mill. And the man describes, he's so eloquent and very well spoken, and he described it, and he was a fantastic teller of his story. And when I read about how much he was made to work, I was dumbfounded, because he said they got up an hour before sunrise, ate something quickly, got their stuff, went out into the field, started pulling cotton or chopping sugar cane. And then when the sun went down and they could no longer see the cane well enough to cut it clean, they would haul it back into the mill. And so guess what they did then? They milled the sugar. They broke it down.
fired up the torches and fired up the pots and all the fires and all that stuff, and they chopped it down, processed it, refined it, and then at some point somewhere around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, they would stop and they would eat, and they sometimes had to choose whether or not they were going to eat or sleep, but they got an hour to do one or both of those things. And then the light was breaking, and so they went back out to the field. And he said that they were treated like beasts of burden, obviously. I mean, you know the dark chapter that is our slavery history in this country. But he said that one of his owners was so dialed in, he knew exactly how many hours of rest were needed, knew exactly what the ration of food was for each one based on their weight. And it wasn't because he cared for them or loved them. It was because, as a beast of burden, they had to be cared for and nourished and treated just so that they could get 100% efficiency out of that beast. Now, I hate even making that correlation, talking about a man as being property or a beast of burden. But you can take care of something without at all caring for that something. And so we see these hypocrites here. You take necessary care of your animals on the Sabbath, Jesus said to them, if for no other reason than a dead animal would not serve them. Now, he says it again similarly in the next chapter, Luke 14, verse 3. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? When he saw a man with an ailment, he said, is it lawful? I love how he set the stage. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? I want to know. But they kept silent because they knew what he was going to do. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things, because the animal would not serve otherwise. Now, understand, Jesus had no issue with that logic in taking care of those animals simply because they were beasts of burden. But look at the hypocrisy that was on their part. They take care of these animals that were nothing more than soulless creatures because they served them. Jesus loved that woman. On the Sabbath day, that didn't change anything. He loved that woman. And he wanted her to serve his Father. He wanted her to serve him. He wanted her to serve, well, the Almighty God, not just because he wanted a servant, but because it was good for her to serve him. How many of you all do not believe it is 100% in your eternal and best interest to serve the Almighty God, minute after minute? I hope you believe that. To be his servant, to enslave ourselves to him, this man I read about, there were moments, and it would break your heart, there were moments when people would come in and he would pray that that person would buy him because he was a better master than who he had. It breaks your heart. I don't need to be bought. I've already been bought. I've already been paid for. Already been redeemed. You talk about a pulled back. I was broken and so were you. And he raised us up. Straightened us up, put his hand upon us. Will you be whole? Of course. Because he wanted to. He wanted us to serve him because he knew he was good for us. He wanted her to serve him because he knew he was good for her. Yes, they should tend to the needs of the creatures that served him, even on the Sabbath. And that's exactly what he was doing. He sought to heal those who would be healed and bless those who would be blessed no matter what day it was, that they might see the need that they had and serve and honor God for the deliverance that he gave. And she did, evidently. In verse 13, he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's a victory, man. That's a success story right there, just even in that moment. The problem with that indignant one that watched and scorned and all of those things was that he was resting and he was not serving. He was resting with his own broken back and wasn't even cognizant enough to recognize it. I'm sure I've made the analogy before, but you know, you watch healthy people get adjusted on YouTube, that's one thing. You watch people who are completely broken and so intoxicated and inebriated that they don't realize that they're even hurt and then walk on broken limbs. Whew.
That will get you in the gut, man. When they're like, I'm good, and they're full on, you have to wrestle them down. Sometimes people don't recognize just how broken they are. And this indignant one who looked at the Lord, he wasn't interested in serving. He wasn't interested in being healed. He was crooked. And he rested in his crookedness. He was broken and he was satisfied with that. He was ignorant and he was entirely blissful. He was willing to rest in his crookedness when Jesus was absolutely unwilling to rest in hers. And he could have come to him too and said, fix me too. Fix me too, I get it. You are the Sabbath. You think he would have held him, kept that from him? You are the one. And the Lord would have straightened him right up. I wasn't always dropping the hammer on my kids when I told them to straighten up. You know, sometimes it was just a matter of, hey, get this here. Get this, your hair. Didn't you hate when your mom did that? Lick her hands and smear something down that smelled like, ugh. Pulling a tooth on a kid. Kids will come up, I have a loose tooth. Well, let's see it. You know, it's just not very, well, let's give it some time. 4 weeks later, you know, you go in there to pull that thing out and they're like, no, don't touch it. Don't touch it. That thing is just hanging on by a thread, looking terrible, you know. And you're like, ugh, you know, all I have to do is just flick that and it's coming out. Oh, no, don't touch it, because they're scared. You know, they don't want you to yank that thing out, and you're like, if I could just leave it there, but it's going to pop out. She's going to choke on this thing when she's asleep tonight. Adults can do the same thing. Some of us don't like dental work. Adults can do the same thing, except, you know, you get a cavity that causes a problem. And the cavity gets bigger, and you don't fix it, and you have a fractured tooth, and it opens up. And you know what happens? There's a bad tooth. That leads to decay. Decay leads to rot. Rot leads to infection. Prolonged infection in a little spot results in infection systemically, right? Prolonged systemic infection leads to organ failure. I've seen people die of heart attacks that stemmed from a bad tooth that they didn't get taken care of. I've seen people get injured. They didn't take care of the injury, and eventually the bone wore away and it was wrecked because they were crooked. Something small. Someone said, straighten up. You need, can I help you with this? No, don't touch it. Don't touch it. You know how it is. I know what I'm doing here. I can, don't touch it. I never let Brother Doug pop my back. He probably knew what he was doing. I never let him touch me. Friend, is it time for an adjustment for you? Maybe not. Maybe absolutely there's no need for you. But if you're here this evening, and you feel like there's something that you know has been something you've been dealing with, go to the Lord for it. Now, it need not be some kind of like you need this entire spiritual overhaul where you might not be entirely crooked, but maybe it's time for an adjustment. Maybe your heel's just a little bit longer than the other, or whatever. Maybe it's just a reminder for your posture. You're looking just a little bit off right now. You're kicked off just a little. I feel fine. No, you aren't. You're off just a bit. Be sure you are not held to just a Sabbath day. You don't need to wait just to come to church to get right. You don't need to wait just for Sunday morning, Wednesday evening to get right. You don't need to sit and rest on that bad back. Now, they'll tell you that a bad back, you just rest on it and it gets better. But if you're sitting there with your pillow, you know, and all this sort of thing, you're looking at your iPad and all that, you're not getting any better when you're resting on that. Ignoring it doesn't fix it. Ignoring a bad back doesn't make it any better. Laying down on a bad back out of position doesn't make it any better. Simply forgetting about it and not getting adjusted does not make it any better. Not when you can be healed. When you can come to the Lord and he can put his hand upon you and make you straight. Just like that. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, Hebrews 12 says, and the feeble knees, all those weak parts, and make straight paths for your feet, set them and fix them, faced and focused only towards Jesus, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now, it's satisfying for some to hear that snap, crackle, pop of that adjustment on YouTube or whatever else. It's not for me. But may we be satisfied, like eternally satisfied, in being healed by the Lord. not just adjusted in the moment, perhaps, but healed by him and able to take up the fullness of that yoke that he has and that light burden that he's reserved for us, because he wants to. He wants to straighten us up. And what the Lord wants is what I want. That's all I have for you this evening.